have 15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. And if you have Alexa, just go to Alexa, 860 AM, and it'll bring up our broadcast. Also, you can listen from anywhere in the USA simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. As always, this afternoon we will have a rebroadcast of today's program emailed to all of our people who are on the email list. And if you'd like to join that list, just go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and right on the left side is Join Our E-List. You will get a copy of each week's broadcast. You can listen to it again, send it off to family and friends, and help us rock and roll our way to a better economy here in the USA. And I want to say begin today by reminding everyone that our theme for 2020 has been Support American Made First. And wow, as I was out shopping, I found many more made in the USA products just yesterday alone, and I was really, really pleased. So I want to say a special thank you to a man who's been doing nothing but, for over 10 years now, but promoting 100% Made in America, and that is Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. Also, best wishes to Larkin Conley, always there with a good point of view. He is our national small business advocate. Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And, of course, Curtis Ellis, who is part of the America First Project, who is out on the road this week. And best wishes from him to all of you. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. Always very pleased to be with you. Last week I began the broadcast asking everyone to promote the fact that we are all one people in America. We are all one people in America. We salute one flag. We are supposed to love one another. You know, when I go out, I always say hello to everyone. It's a habit I've had for many years. Good morning, how are you, thank you, whatever. And I really think that we have to do that more in our daily life to make sure that we are all one people. Movement becomes a bigger thing. The more we become united as Americans, the more we'll be united and be able to stand together as people of all races, colors, and creeds, united as Americans. But most of all, we will not be able to be divided by all of the ugly, and I mean ugly, media coverage of this and that, which represents a very small portion of America and the good people in America. American workers and all of us have now seen and heard the conventions of both the Democrats and the Republican Party. Now it's on to seeing the debates and seeing firsthand plans of what our future president will want to do when he is sworn into office. Right now, we're watching the ongoing aftermath of the coronavirus pandemic, which, as we all know, originated in China, and very few people focus on that because many of the stores are featuring products made in China, so they don't want to aggravate the Chinese. But as I said earlier, I'm seeing more and more Made in America, beautiful Made in America symbols on everything. Even the light bulbs that I bought were made in the USA. We need to see who is going to lead us through the campaigns by what they're going to talk about with jobs, prosperity, getting things back to normal here in the United States. This has gone on for a long, long time. And we don't know, by the way, how long the aftermath of the coronavirus will last and how long it will hurt Americans and America's economy. Because I can see that Americans want to get back to normal, I'm asking all of you to support as much of America's businesses that you can. Go out and do whatever you can. Look at the label. Speak up where you shop. Because we now have the opportunity to support America's businesses, our local businesses, major businesses, and encourage them to expand their product lines and circulate more American-made products than we have seen circulating in America for about 30 years. I told a few people yesterday when I was at Home Depot that I was very pleased to see the amount of made in the USA products that they had. In fact, I bought a few of them, and I was really, really very impressed. And he said, yes, more and more is coming back in the last few years. It's all about how we spend our money and who we choose to support. When a company sees that there's more of an interest in their product, more interest in the Made in America label, they want to expand their product lines and, of course, help to make America the way it should be. I'd like to call first of all today on Mark Andel. Mark, how are you doing? And, of course, tell me what you thought of the conventions, what you're looking forward to hearing in the debates, and what you've seen in the news and how has it impressed you.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. I hope our whole panel's on. Good morning, guys. Henry's always making us sound good. Thank you, Henry. Mike, a lot going on. First, I just want to kind of go through where we're at, coming up on this Labor Day and a big weekend. But the Made in America movement's very alive, like you just said. A lot of people with our store, our main flagship store in Alma, that's been very busy, and our One Niagara Falls, even with the border closed, has been busy, and we figure because more people are staying in New York State. And we are just closed our one mall store. We got one left. We closed Galleria this yesterday, I should say, and we're opening up a new Strip Plaza store, which will be opening within 2 weeks, so we're going to try that leg, Mike. General Welding, we're busy. The oil mining industry has collapsed. They don't expect that to come back around until planes start flying, buses start running, people start using their vehicles more, and there's more demand for oil. That's probably the third Q3 next year, third quarter, fourth quarter. But we've got some the military work, and we're into everything, Mike. So it really helps us. Years ago, bankers would say, "Hey, don't you see yourself getting into one thing, Mark?" And I said, "No, that's not how we operate." So there's always some leg that saves us. And MadeInAmerica.com, Mike, is doing very well. MadeInAmericaStore.com. Dependency on China has been opened up, and the borders are closed to China, and it's affecting the stores. I can't get the Chinese products, but it's helping our Made in America movement really, really go out. And I truly believe, when I look over at my store through my window at General Welding, that's a statement for America. Support the country you live in, 50-50 fair trade, Mike, like me, you, and our team always talked about. And I truly believe Made in America can save a lot of the problems the country are going through right now. By giving people a purpose, a job, supporting entrepreneurs, inventors, and people that work for a living. Mike, my mother's 83. She said to me this morning, "You never had it easy. Dad always had you in a garage since 12. He was always on you. But that actually made me who I was. And, earning and working for a dollar is what's lost in a way. This free world that a lot of people want isn't what drives people, Mike, or sometimes the hard times my parents had coming up actually made them had more structure and made them who they are. So your other question was, how do you like the with the Republicans, Democrats, the conventions? I'm for the worker, obviously, and Made in America. I want the person, that's really going to drive the economy, stand up for the worker, the American worker, and who that is. I don't have to say, right now, unfortunately, that is who's qualified for the job is Donald J. Trump to me, and who has made this economy what it is. My question would be to the panel, since this corona crisis, pandemic, if China was the one that developed this disease in their country and it was released on the world, however, I think, you know, who is the candidate that would go after China? You know, who is that, Biden or Trump? I mean, that's a big question, and I think they've got to be held accountable and responsible for this mess we're in. We're going to crawl out of it, Mike. That's what we do. But I do think they have to target that, and that should be part of this debate right now.
You are so right. Oh, my God. Mark, you are correct. Now, I don't understand why there are not more Mark Andels around. I never understood that. Because, you know, take for instance, just take a little look back. And let's be open today, as open as we can. I never understood why no political leader was asking, why were we losing so much money in America? If you're losing money, you ask the question, well, did I not work this week? Did I do this or that? You ask. No, they didn't ask. They didn't care. Because I'll tell you why. Their jobs were not affected. They were paid. Their staff were paid. Their pensions are going to be guaranteed.
Absolutely.
The whole deal. They never gave 2 cents about. They never worried about the wage tax. The wage tax and the FICA and all is what keeps America moving. And yet they never asked that question. It's just that, how are we going to get more? We're going to demand more. It was because we lost jobs in the United States of America, and unemployed people don't pay wage taxes, and add all of that added to our national debt, and that put on a great, great burden for the American people. There's a lot to be said. I say all of these questions should be answered during the debate. And by the way, I'm listening, Mark and Larkin and Rich. Mr. Biden has been an elected official for many decades. He should know and be able to answer why the deficit continues to rise. That should be the first question asked. In your years in the Senate and as vice president, can you tell us why the national debt continued to rise? Why wage taxes didn't go up but remained pretty flat according to the amount of people that were employed here in America? Because unemployed people don't pay wage tax. It's a basic. So why wasn't that their main focus? And every person that pays a monthly bill, Mark, you pay many monthly bills. You pay people, all of your expenses. Any person who pays bills knows that working age and able-bodied people need a job in order to pay their own expenses. They depend on you or the next business to employ them so that we can have a great life, a great America, and live according to our means. America's government did not lead its own for its own good. It took and never looked back and to say, we only have a dollar. How can we spend a dollar and a half? How can we spend $2? That's the bottom line. And I want those questions asked during the debate and answered during the debate. And I don't think that Americans should settle for anything less. Let me turn to Larkin Connolly. Dr. Larkin, how are you? Let me turn to.
I'm sorry, Mike.
You had your.
I had my mute on.
Not mute me, but mute.
That too. I am. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mark. It's great to hear your voice. Rich, who I think is still mad at me for last week, and Henry. Michael, listeners, all of the listeners, I got to tell you, I had a conversation with a listener, a rather lengthy conversation with a listener, in which the accusation, the ultimate accusation in the conversation, point that was made, it wasn't an accusation, point, was that I, Larkin Connolly, was going to vote for Donald Trump anyway, you know, and I'm like, whoa. Where have I indicated anywhere on tape that I'm a Donald Trump supporter? I'm not pro or against or for Donald Trump. I'm not against or for Joe Biden. there is a distinct difference in this election. While there might be a little bit of taste that it's ultimately going to be the lesser of two evils, might be. I think America could do better to find a leader than the two people that are running right now. But here's the deal. The distinction between the two is just that obvious and very, very critical. And so the decision that one makes when they cast that ballot is very important. I haven't committed to anybody, even my local congressman, who I continue to a vet who's running against some new blood. So, listen, this program was founded, and our whole purpose for being is to support the American worker and small businesses in America. And while we have wandered away from that occasionally, I don't think too far. That's the purpose of this whole election, is the American worker. Biden's smart, by the way. He's changed his whole dialogue about American workers. And now he's the American workers. We need to bring the industry back. The government needs to support small businesses and blah, blah. This has never, ever, ever come out of his mouth until the last couple of weeks. But, you know, you got to get elected. So to any listener out there that thinks that I'm a cast Donald Trump vote, I've never said that. I've never committed to that. Michael has never said it. Mark leans that way, and we all know why, and it makes all the sense in the world. And Rich leans that way, and we understand that also. Curtis works for the administration, so you wouldn't expect anything different than that.
Hey, Rich. Larkin sounds like me. You better give him the speech you give me every week.
So,
well, we got our audio engineer, swing voter in swing state. We got 62 days left until the election.
62 days. You know, Larkin and Rich and Mark, I want to talk. By the way, before I forget, Mark sent me a video. He sent it to all of you, too. I asked that you look at it because it is talking about what is happening in America again with the race baiting and all that stuff. Take a look at it.
Yeah.
And that we're just tired of it in America. American people are tired of this negativity. You know, they want to know what the top guy is going to do. Let's not only talk, let's have those campaign thoughts in writing so that we could read them. You know, the 2020 presidential campaign slogans are another thing that we have to take into consideration. President Trump is using "Make America Great Again." Okay, that's a continuation of his 2016 campaign theme, and I'd like to see him outline even more new things that he's going to focus on as if he was reelected during the debates. Vice President Biden's theme is "Build Back Better." I don't know exactly what that means to the American people, but I want to know what he's going to explain about that in the debate. And I think the debates are the most important thing, because that will show us, with no uncertainty, who will really be able to steer the ship. Slogans are great, but we need to know exactly what the candidate will do and how they should act in documenting their ideas. Talk is not acceptable as it once was, because the internet, social media, the whole deal, people want to look at it. Maybe they heard it driving in a car or something, and if they get a little news bites, I'm sorry. Mr. Biden has been in government for many years. So if he agrees with the slogan, I want him to outline his plan so I can consider him as a proper candidate. Right now, just throwing me lines, I'm not interested in it. And also, as you heard in past broadcasts, political people often campaign on a particular theme. Then when the campaign is over, Larkin, you know it better than anybody. They totally forget the slogan and say, well, it was not possible for them to get the whole thing off the ground and all, and, you know, forgive me, I bow to you with forgiveness questions and all that. All bull. Mark, your bill comes in at the end of the month. You don't bow to anybody for forgiveness. It's expected to be paid. And that is for every businessman and every American worker, their families, whether they're retired or whatever. You get your money, Henry, and you govern it accordingly. Yes.
Henry, fix some mate for Michael. He's getting geared up again. I'm telling you. Listen, here's what you have to think about in this election. Everybody hates Donald Trump from the left. They hate him. He's a racist. He's, you know, they've got all the names in the world for him. You know, whatever. If it's true, it's true. If it isn't, it isn't. I on the other side, you've got a guy that's been in there for almost 50 years who can't put a check mark beside any single program that he supported. He's got more embarrassment in his background than anything else. But again, you have to watch this election from about five stories higher than that. And that is to look down on the landscape and say, they're going to win Congress, the Democrats. They might win the presidency. They stand a better chance now than they certainly did in 16, although we were all surprised then. And I still contend that there are about 14 senatorial races that are so close to being toss-ups that if the Democrats win the Senate, the Republicans will not win the House, the Senate, or the presidency for 36 years. The party's gone, dead, never to return. And what will happen to this country under Democratic rule like that will frighten. You know, I keep on hearing all this criticism of the country, and it kind of makes you mad to have to even listen to it. America is a capitalist country, and it's very, very greedy. Yet half the population is being subsidized.
That's right.
How does that make sense?
And by the way, Larkin, it was not that way before. Even after the Depression, things turned around very well in the United States. Our industries were moving forward. What the hell happened that we moved them now, not forward in the United States, we moved them out of the United States?
Clinton rolled back welfare. I mean, he worked hard at it and was very successful. And then he turned around and there was Bush, and then in comes Obama, and what happened to welfare in this country is just deplorable. I mean, I don't even know how you even justify it.
And by the way, Larkin, working in human services, the people that I meet of all ages that are on welfare, majority of them would much rather have a job so that they do not have to go into the supermarket and flash out an access card and things like that and let their children see all this. The fact that we do not have the jobs for the amount of people that we have in this country is a disgrace. China has more jobs than five countries combined because they took our jobs and they're doing well over there.
The job outlet, China's not doing well right now.
Well, not now, but they've done for 30 years.
So the job outlet in Duval County, which is Jacksonville, largest county in the country, that job access our program there right now has 2,500 vacancies.
Mm-hmm.
2,500 jobs waiting for somebody to take.
To be filled.
And they're trying to be filled.
Well, you know, so they announced yesterday.
I'm not buying this stuff. I'm not buying it. We live in a nation where we just absolutely love to collect unemployment. We love it.
Yes.
And we live in a nation where people had to make a decision. Do I want to go back to work or do I want to continue to collect unemployment because I'm getting more money?
Got an extra 600. Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, the thing that is something that people tell me too, it's all in the education system. When a lot of the people in their late 40s and 50s went to school, teachers promoted them being, you know, somebody in their life, being a leading force, being a role model for your children, your family. That's not promoted today. Because there's 1,001 demands upon teachers. Most of the teachers, I must say, are very good, but they can't do their job because they have 1,000 things to do. They're very often now being a mother and a father to children within the classroom setting. Now you bring the pandemic and they have to do it over the internet. This is terrible. This is absolutely terrible. But there's still nobody encouraging young people to be the best that they can be. I don't hear it. I haven't heard it for many years. Have you, Larkin?
Nope.
Well, that is the problem. That is my main problem. I've always told my kids, be the best that you can be. You know, make an imprint on the world so that you, your family, your children can be proud of you. I do not hear that anywhere. Can we turn to Mr. Rich Logis? Rich, let me hear it all.
Hi, Michael. Good morning. And Mark, Larkin, our listeners, thank you so much. 62 days to go, Michael, which means that if anyone out there who's listening is not registered to vote, they have approximately on average in most states, they've got about, Larkin, I would say probably about 35, 40 days. And if you don't, and Mark, anyone who doesn't get registered to vote, what you did is you chose to sit on the sidelines. That's what they did, Michael. Anyone mm-hmm. who decides they don't. So I keep coming back. I've talked to candidates down here, and what I tell them all the time, Michael, is I always rattle off the following: senior citizens, small business owners, working families, young people just starting out in life. There are two issues that bind all four of those groups, Mark. Safety and security, economic strength. Those two issues bind those four groups, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So the choice becomes, do we want to strive to elect lawmakers and elected leaders who have done something positive in economic strength and safety and security, or do we want to elect lawmakers who just talk about it with their worthless, useless, and irrelevant opinions? And Mark could talk about Made in America all day long, but Mark actually does it. Larkin can talk about small business all day long, but Larkin's actually done something. I'm writing, you know, this godforsaken book, the never-ending book, The Rabbit Hole. I've published over 60 articles trying to do something. Right, Michael? You've got the show here. Mike Sessions doesn't just talk about Made in America. He's got the app. See, do you want people who do something, or do you want people who just talk about it? And what you get with the party of Biden and Harris, especially with the nominees, you get a lot of flowery talk, Michael. Lots of talk. And there is actually a Joe Biden economic plan. And it's called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Mark.
Right.
That's what it's called. Now, when, of course, Joe Biden was the vice president, Michael, of course he had to support the president. He's the vice president. Of course you're going to support. So last year when the vice president said he wouldn't rejoin the Trans-Pacific Partnership, he would renegotiate pieces of that, but it's really short on specifics, Michael. A lot of worthless opinions. What I know that we actually did with China, Mark, is we actually said, no problem, we're just going to slap tariffs on a lot of these products, and then all of a sudden the pricing, Mark, becomes competitive to Made in America. Just like, for example, Michael, I'm looking right now at my Made in America New Balance sneakers. Mark, you should ask for a commission check on that. Because I got a pair of New Balance sneakers, and when I showed everyone the cost of it, here was the first response, Larkin, that everybody said when they saw the price of the New Balance sneakers, Made in America. Wow, that's expensive. To which I replied, well, the word expensive is an opinion. The question is, expensive compared to what? Because I'll bet you this, Mark, if I bought two Made in China New Balances, those two China-made New Balances would both wear out before the one singular pair of the Made in America sneakers. Right. Just like, Michael, I just got some gift cards from some of my suppliers. Mark's, I ordered from Mark's store. All the manager there is probably trying to chase me. He says, this guy Logis is a deadbeat. His card didn't go through because it didn't cover the whole transaction. I went to Mark and said, Mark, I'm going to order on your store. I need some shirts. I'm going to go get some shirts because the Glock I carry is really big. So I need a better way to hide it, Mark. So that's what it comes down to, Michael. Do you want someone who's done it? What has someone done? Show me the results and the outcomes versus just a bunch of worthless opinions. And I really hope and pray, Michael, that when all is said and done, because people laughed at me in 2015 and 16 when I came on this show, Mark, and I said that this guy's going to win the nomination and he's going to win the general election. And people laughed and said it was crazy. And someone, I remember one time someone saying, you need to read the New York Times, to which I said, no thanks. And now I say again, to which now I say again, Michael, people can laugh at this next statement I'm going to make. I used to say that November was going to be the most revelatory moment in American history. I don't believe that anymore. I actually think November is going to be the most revelatory moment in the history of the world. I think right now we're at a situation, right now, Mark, front row seat, you're so close you're getting spit on. Most revelatory moment in world history. Because for whatever flaws, Michael, that we might have, anywhere human beings roam, there's problems. For all of our flaws, Larkin, the United States is not only the most powerful civilization in the history of the world, we stand alone atop that list, but as for all of our power and our might, Larkin, we've done much more good than bad. We have done much more good. Now, we haven't been good all the time here and abroad, Michael, but we've done much more good than we have bad. So the question, the revelatory moment is, are we going to continue to keep this country a power, the most powerful, most good first world nation, or are we going to abdicate that to those whose way of thinking is what is found, Michael, in all of the nations now and in history that were the most tyrannical and the most oppressive? That's the distinction. This is a larger gap in distinction, Mark, than even 2016. That's our moment right now, 62 days to go. It's why I say swing voter in a swing state, our audio engineer, I'm talking to voters all the time, Michael. And I let them know that if they sit this out, then what you're doing is no matter where you are in America, if you sit it out, you're helping the side whose way of thinking is what's found in the worst places to live now and the worst, most oppressive, despotic places in history. And no one should construe that as a rah-rah for the Republican Party, because I'm going to tell you right now, Larkin, win or lose, the Republican Party's finished, because there is no way that the Republican Party anymore can continue on with the benefit of lesser of two evils. It has shown us in the last several months, and I'm exempting the president, how unwilling the Republican Party really is, how unwilling they are really to fight, because they're obsessed with being liked by the editorial boards of the New York Times and the Washington Post. The party is done, Larkin. The question is, what and who replaces the party? Larkin is 100% right on this, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Well, the main thing is, through this campaign and through all of us talking about this, I want to see people focused more on what they buy. I went yesterday, and even Philips bulbs were made again in the United States of America. The long, the 48-inch size, I couldn't believe it. The guy said to me, "You seem stunned," and I said, "I am," because a year ago, when I bought a whole carton of them, they were made abroad. He said, "Yeah, well, a lot of things are coming back now." And I thought to myself, "Alleluia. Alleluia." But the thing is that has to be addressed for American workers. And by the way, there are lots of American workers, Larkin, as we know, that are going to be retiring in the next 5 or 10 years. Who's going to replace them from the crop of students and the young people of today? This is another question I think should be discussed during the debate. And my meaning in this respect is, let's get our teachers not worrying about being part of a teachers' union, but by worrying what good they're filling their students' heads with, yes, to be
Mike,
a success.
So,
yes.
Mike,
yes.
On that line,
I don't want
my daughter just started college. She's going for teaching, 6 years. It's day three. But on day one, I asked her at the end of the day how to go. And she's going to school, actually, even in these times. A lot of people are all on the Internet. But she said the one class, she really realized she was in college because the guy teacher was swearing. And I said, "What, like the F word?" "Oh, yeah." She said, "It really reminded me I'm not in high school no more." And then he's teaching history. Rich, you'll love this. And he said, "I'm not going to mention the guy I'm talking about's name. You guys know who it is. I'll never mention it in this class." I said, "You're kidding me, Jesse." "Nope." So, you know, just think about that. Not only is our media crooked in what they're selling, but these colleges, it really surprised me. Now, I knew that from all my nephews and that went how one-sided, but I was surprised how this one teacher chose to run his class. What do you think about that?
Larkin was saying something, Michael. Larkin, please go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was... what Mark said has completely blown me away. I know what goes on. I know teachers are incessantly liberals, and that's too bad. But to think that they won't teach both sides just really,
and mention the
really
name,
is
Larkin,
annoying.
You know.
Well, you know, Larkin, let me just chime in here. That it should be part of our national education format. You teach the subject, not what you feel.
Right, the facts like media.
When you are paid to be in a classroom in front of the class, you teach the facts and figures, and your opinion stays with you when the class is over. This is the problem.
Yeah.
Sitting around in these big classroom settings for 2 hours, and then the guy goes off, "I saw this yesterday, I'm angry about this," and all. That's not your job. Your job is not to inform people or brainwash anyone. It's to educate them with the subject they're paying you money to teach. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, remember, those who can do, those who can't teach. That's a low blow, but that's exactly what that stands for with that teacher that your daughter has been confronted by. Those who can, get out and do it. Those who can't, sit in the classroom and teach. And it's a very, very sorry state of affairs. But I wanted to build on something that Richard said about the importance of this election. I was in this conversation I was having, several conversations, as a matter of fact, with listeners. One where they said, how are you going to make your decision? I mean, I said, listen, they both are flawed in one way or another. But I've got news for you. The guy I go to see on Sunday morning tells me that everybody's flawed. And you practice to try to be better at what you do. But, you know, there is no forgiveness. But at any rate, I said, I watched with my own two eyes, Joe Biden stand in somewhere in New Hampshire or Maine and tell a pack of reporters that he graduated at the top of his class, that he graduated with three majors, that he graduated, and all that there were five packaged together, five Jagunda lies. I mean, just flat out lies. He was the fourth from the bottom of his class of 81. Fourth from the bottom.
That's right. I saw that ad, too, and it's been on numerous times, Larkin. But it just goes to show you, if some people don't realize that they're being recorded. Today, we're in the day of social media and YouTube and everything else. Whatever a person says today, they can be expected to be haunted by it by tomorrow.
Well, you should be haunted by any time that you tell a deliberate lie to sway the opinion of somebody. But at any rate, I said to the individual, that says to me that he's got the same weakness that maybe Trump has. So they tell little white fibs, or they speak off the cuff without the proper support, and it comes out wrong, although that's not the case with Biden. And this person stopped me and said, wait a minute. You're going to tell me that you think Joe Biden is a bigger liar than Donald Trump? And I said, are we putting these things in packages and ribbons on them? Are we trying to encapsulate who told? I mean, Donald Trump told 17 lies, and Joe Biden only told 15 lies. What you got is two liars, and you've got to evaluate those people on that level. Although, as far as I'm concerned, it should have nothing to do with the election, unless it's a promise broken. But at any rate, what I'm saying is that this election, unfortunately, is going to start out in the gutter, and I can only hope that one of the two candidates is smart enough and talented enough to get out of the gutter and sit in the middle of the road and argue with the other one that sits in the gutter and, you know, wallows in visceral language. I don't know.
Now, let me ask you this, Larkin.
I'll tell you what. The United States of America, 1 year from today, is going to be a very, very different place.
Yes. You are so right there. I agree 1,000,000% with you. But Larkin, on this Wednesday, September the 2nd, 2020, I'm going to ask you right now, who impresses you the most that they will stand up for American workers? Tell me right now.
I have no opinion. Not yet.
Rich Loges, who do you feel would stand up for American workers to get them in jobs, to keep them in jobs, not to raise taxes, but to gain taxes through wage taxes and other means, FICA and all, where people are earning money and paying their way on their own?
Michael, there's a lot of people out there who want everything.
Who do you feel would be best suited today, 62 days before the election?
The party of Biden and Harris, Michael, know that it's the president. Know it's the incumbent. It's why they stay away from discussing the economy.
The economy is everything to the people. Everything. With no money, I mean, look, American Airlines, people have no money. They don't want to have all these plane. They have no place to go. The other businesses, the hotels, the resorts, and many of the places are closed. On Friday, they will lay off, according to the news yesterday, 18 or 19,000 people. Did you hear that report? How are we going to continue? How are we going to continue to have these layoffs because the pandemic is stopping us from doing all these things? I'm a believer, being out in the public, going different places. I believe if you take care of your body is able to fight off all sorts of viruses if you take care of your body on a regular basis.
I don't want anyone to use a cultural reference here. I don't want anyone to think that I'm not a fan of the Rolling Stones. I'm definitely a fan of their politics, of course, are ass backwards, but that's whatever. But if you look at the history of the Rolling Stones in the 60s, what they did is just followed what the Beatles did. And that's just because the Beatles were a superior, more talented songwriting band. So I'm speaking to a swing voter and a swing state or audio engineer. I'm going to bring it into Joe Biden is now for the American worker, Larkin.
Right.
Just like tomorrow, he's going to Kenosha, Wisconsin. So what happens is that leaders and visionaries lead, followers imitate the leaders and then try to make it their own. And that's just what happens in business and in any industry, Michael. So, you know, do you want a leader or do you want a follower running the country, right? I mean, if you had a choice, like, Mark, if I asked you if you had to pick two, you know, is there a third option? No, there's not.
So, Rich, I'm going to interview two people, Trump and Biden. I'm going to give them a interview. I'm going to see their qualifications. I'm going to look at their track record, what they've accomplished. I'm going to say, boy, Trump stopped the TPP, which would have ruined most of our Made in America movement. He opened the Keystone Pipeline. He helped us become the number one oil producer, energy producer in the world. He started the Mexico-Canadian Trade Agreement, which helps us on one continent, one goal. He lowered the taxes for all, 10% for federal, more money in everybody's paycheck. I'm going to look at these things and go, hard, you know, then I'll look at Biden and go, what did he do? You know, it's going to be a qualification. If you're at an interview, you're electing a qualified businessman.
So what are you doing, Mark? You're choosing between a doer and a follower. You
leaders,
want a
followers,
doer or
doers
follower.
And users.
So you said something else, you know, real simple. Is there a third choice? No, there's not.
No.
When in life do we have three really good options in anything in the adult world? So no, there's not a third option.
That's right. And that's why I'm pleading for every American worker today and every able-bodied person that will look for a job now and in the very near future to look at these debates to see who is going to represent you. You know, for until this pandemic hit, America's economy was going rocket high. I've never seen anything like it. Even local job fairs were very poorly attended because people all had jobs. They didn't have to go to job fairs looking for jobs. There were less and less of them. We want to know which candidate is going to bring that economy back. Bring America back better. That's a great slogan. Make America great again. Wonderful slogan. Let's hear what we're going to do to rid ourselves of this pandemic, number one.
Michael, so let's look at, as part of the most revelatory moment in world history, in addition to our economy and safety and security, Larkin, you know, we're gonna make a choice whether we as a first world nation, are we gonna still value data and evidence and numbers and math and science and facts? Here's what the actual data, Michael, is showing, that economically we're still recovering, but we're trending up, right? We're still in recovery mode. We got battered down, but we're on the up and up, Mark. And COVID is on a decline. That's why the press still tells grandma and grandpa you're going to die. The Democrats are hoping grandma and grandpa don't turn around and say, but it's on a decline. And I am convinced right now, Mark, that the November election will be decided in every senior citizen doctor's office in America. Because whatever the doctor of the seniors tell them, if the doctors offer their worthless, useless, irrelevant, and hysterical opinion that the COVID response was botched, which means that the doctors know better, but don't provide, Mark, any evidence that back in January they said do X, Y, and Z. If they just offer their non-medical, useless opinions to senior citizens, senior citizens are going to look to them. Now, if the doctors turn around like my doctor and say that here's what the science is, here's what the medicine is, here's what the evidence and data is, irrespective of your political beliefs, then the seniors will say, okay. So here we're dealing with an unprecedented issue, a pandemic. Okay, fine, all of that. It's going to be determined, Mark, and in senior citizens' doctors' offices around the country is where the election will be determined. Convinced
well,
of it.
That's very possible, but here's the biggest thing. I have been asking on this radio broadcast, I've asked a few doctors, I've asked someone who is in the healthcare system as a outreach person. Can you tell me, can you give me the statistics across the nation in what age categories the deaths occurred? I have not been able to get a clear answer on that yet.
Michael, everybody who says, like my neighbors I just met, I stumbled into a discussion about COVID, Mark, with my very nice Democrat neighbors. I'm not sure what the wife does. The husband is a plumber, so I'm sure in his plumbing experience he became a virologist and a doctor. Okay. I'm sure of it. Somewhere along the way, putting the snake down the toilet, we learned about immunology. All right, gotcha. All I asked, after all the worthless opinions about should have done this, I say, fine, let's say that's all true. That means you know better. So what should he have done and on what date, and show me the evidence that you said he should do that on that date. Proof. Evidence. Give it to me. Let's hear it. Show me on, oh, January 7th. I heard January 7th we shut down. Michael, we had our first case in January. We shut the flights down. So I said to this nice gentleman, I said, so on January 7th, you said do this and this and this? Really? You must have extrasensory perception, omniscient, prescient clairvoyance. Where's the evidence that you said that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't have any. So in other words, it's just a worthless, useless opinion in hindsight. Well, guess what? If I played the Powerball numbers a month ago, Mark, I would have bought out your Made in America stores.
Right.
It's easy to have a hindsight, worthless opinion. So all the narrative, Michael, about do this and do that, I just keep asking everybody. I say, that's amazing that you knew better. Where's your evidence that you knew better, though? Or did you just read a worthless opinion on social media? Ah, gotcha.
You know, Rich.
What would Joe Biden, I ask everyone, show me the evidence that Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden would have done something different and better. Show it to me. Evidence. Do we still value, Michael?
Right.
Evidence and data and math and numbers and science. This is the do we value a world where adults are adults or where they're children? That's the existential question.
Right.
That's what we're coming into.
Right. You know, as I said earlier, our bodies are built, thank God, to fight off most viruses if we take care of ourselves on a regular basis. And we have to remember that every day our bodies age. And if we don't take care of them in more recent years, we're going to become more susceptible to everything, not only a virus, all kinds of problems. And this is something nobody wants to discuss. I had a very heated discussion with a leading health person, and I asked, well, what exactly are the statistics? And she told me, she said 75% of the people are elderly, very elderly, and who have pre-existing conditions, many which were self-induced, which means overweight, whatever other problems they had. I said, okay, well, why don't they want to put that on a national, you know, countdown? They want to put everything else down. I put it on the debt clock to let the people see what's going on. They don't want to do it because the second they put up the statistics, it shows
Michael,
who is most susceptible and who has caused problems in their own life.
That's why you don't get an answer, Michael, because the moment you get an answer, that person has to defend that answer. It's easy to just espouse worthless, useless, irrelevant, and hysterical opinions because they don't need to be defended.
Right. And I you're right.
If I can add something, if I can just add,
please, Mark,
to what you're saying, Democrats Democrats are driven by a mission to have the entire country run by the city of Washington or the District of Columbia. And Republicans are states' rights. They're, and that's the approach that really that Trump took when the pandemic originally came out was, you know, these are problems that belong. This is a state's problem, so fix it. And if you need some help, I'll give you help. They needed ventilators. He came up with ventilators in about 45 days, enough that we have more ventilators than we need now. Masks. And all the PPE stuff, he resolves all that for the states as they requested it to the best of his ability.
So that's why they keep moving on to other goofy ideas and statements and problems. You know, from every person that I speak to and people who listen to us, they want this election over. They want all the ugly campaigning behind us. They want to work together to move America forward so that our businesses that are here operating in America don't decide to downsize or close or have to close because we've been closed for the pandemic. American workers need to see the debates because they have to see who's going to help them support themselves, their children, and their lifestyle. Not to tell them I'm going to give you more of this and more of that. But how are American workers going to be able to support themselves, their children, and their lifetime? Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the music, it's time for us to say goodbye for today. I want to say a special thank you to Larkin Conley, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to Mike Sessions for all his great work. And I am Michael Bliash. Please do check out the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. There's also a register to vote link right on the front page. You can look at Open the Books. You can go to Mike Sessions and his link. And remember, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the first full weekend of the month. It's National Small Business Weekend. Support your businesses throughout the year, every day, but especially during National Small Business Weekend when we have an opportunity to speak up more on the importance of American-made products. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. May God bless you and may God bless your family, friends, and America.